Welcome back to Africa Science Focus, the weekly science and development show from SciDev.net. I am Titilope Fadari. We are back for our Science Explained series. This week, we take a look at cervical cancer and vaccines' role in preventing this cancer in Nigeria. Cervical cancer is caused by the human papillomavirus, HPV, a group of viruses that can be transmitted through sexual contact. Despite the availability of a preventive vaccine, cervical cancer ranks as the third most prevalent cancer and the second leading cause of cancer-related death among Nigerian women aged 15 to 44, according to the World Health Organization. In 2020, Nigerian Health Authority announced the country's intention to introduce the HPV vaccine into its national immunization schedule by 2021. However, this deadline passed without the vaccine being implemented. After that setback, Nigeria finally incorporated the human papillomavirus HPV vaccine into its routine immunization program. This presents a silver lining for Nigeria. To help understand more about HPV and the vaccine, our reporter, Royal Uche, speaks to Professor Oyewale Tomori, a professor of virology and a fellow of the Nigerian Academy of Science.
Human papillomavirus infection is caused by the human papillomavirus, which commonly leads to skin or mucous membrane growths, which are called warts. There are more than 100 varieties of this virus, and most of the HPV infections, that is the human papillomavirus infections, do not lead to cancer. However, some types of the genital HPV can also cause cancer of the lower part of the uterus, which connects to the vagina, that is the cervix. Other types of cancers which can be caused by this HPV virus include cancers of the anus, of the penis, of the vagina, of the vulva, and the back of the throat, which is called the oropharyngeal cancers. The development of cancer usually takes years, even decades, after a person has gotten infected with the virus. There's no way to know who would develop cancer or other health problems from the human papillomavirus.
How can HPV lead to cervical cancer?
Infection with low risk, what you call the low risk human papillomavirus, may cause warts only on or around the genitalia. You see, as I mentioned, the anus, the mouth, or the throat. On the other hand, infection with what we know as the high risk human papillomavirus does not usually cause symptoms. However, depending on the site of infection, the precancer and cancers which are caused by the high-risk virus infection persist for many years and may cause sometimes symptoms like lumps or bleeding and pain. So simply put, the normal cells are infected by this virus and then they end up being transformed into what we call cancerous growth. So they go through abnormal changes, which are called hyperplasia or dysplasia. So such affected cells often are the ones that become cancerous.
What is the best way to prevent the virus?
HPV infection passes easily between sexual partners. It can be transmitted through any intimate skin-to-skin contact, including the vaginal, the penile sex, or penile anal sex, or penile oral sex, and vaginal oral sex. So currently, using condoms can lower the chance of HPV transmission, but does not prevent it completely. This means having multiple sexual partners, sexual intercourse, or unprotected sex are at the highest risk for getting infected by the human papillomavirus. The vaccine, which is currently the Gardasil vaccine, which is currently being used, is quite safe and is efficacious, and is actually very cost-effective.
What do they use to produce the vaccine?
The vaccines are actually based on a part of the protein, or what you call virus-like particles, which are assembled from subunits of the inactive virus. That is, they use the coat, take out part of it, and use it as the protein to develop the vaccine. Then the vaccines are then designed to elicit neutralizing antibodies in the person who gets it. So when you get the vaccine, your body will respond and produce antibodies to that which came out of the virus. But it doesn't cause infection because it's a killed and inactive portion of the protein. So this would prevent, once you have the antibody, it will prevent your initial infection, you know, with the virus. Now, since the vaccine is designed to prevent the development of cancer, vaccination must be done early in life before exposure to sexual activities. The HPV virus vaccination is recommended at the ages of 11 to 12 years, and I can even give starting as early as the age of 9 years. All preteens, people who are below the teenage, need the vaccine so that they are protected from HPV infection that can cause the cancer later in their life. The vaccine has been shown to offer 100% protection against the development of the cervical, either precancers or eventual genital cancers or warts. And in this part of the world where this vaccine has been widely used. Further details on the age of vaccination and the needed doses were usually provided by our own MPACDA. So my advice is we get this as quickly as possible, get the vaccine to the young people so that before they go, they become exposed through all sorts of means, then they already have antibodies that will protect them.
To help us understand how the human papilloma virus leads to cancer, we speak to Professor Ifeoma Okoye, a professor of radiation medicine at the University of Nigeria Teaching Hospital and the director of the Center of Clinical Trials at the University of Nigeria, Osaka.
Persistent infection with the high-risk HPV strains is a major risk factor for the development of cervical cancer. Having already established that the human papillomavirus is a group of viruses known to infect the genital area, mouth, and throat, most human papillomavirus infections are harmless. There are various types, over 200, and they resolve on their own. Persistent infection with the high-risk human papillomavirus strains are the ones that are known to lead to various cancers, with cervical cancer being the most significant. If you want to look at the oncogenic potential of the high-risk variants of the human papillomavirus, we find that certain strains of human papillomavirus, HPV, particularly types 16 and 18, are considered high risk due to their oncogenic potential, their cancer-forming potential. These viruses typically can integrate their DNA into the host's self genome, leading to disruptions in normal cellular processes. There is the aspect of the role of E6 and E7 oncoproteins, which are produced by the high-risk human papillomavirus and which are responsible in playing a pivotal role in the development of cervical cancer. The E6 protein interferes with the normal function of tumor suppressor protein P53, leading to the inhibition of apoptosis, which implies programmed cell death. There are in human nature multiples of cells which, when they have outlived their usefulness, they are usually programmed to die and be evacuated from the system. But the typical cancer cell has inhibition of this process of apoptosis, this process of programmed cell death, and rather than die, they become anarchist, do not respond at all to instructions from the instruction center of the brain, and will not die as they are meant to die, and resist that dying and being evacuated, and constitute a group of cells that just continue to multiply themselves and eventually overwhelm the system of the patients that they are occupying, unless there is an external intervention that is made to assist the body to ensure that these cells are caused to die. Unfortunately, most of such interventions will also harm the normal cells in the body.
In Nigeria, cancer poses a significant financial burden for patients and their families. The cost of cancer treatment can be prohibitive even for those with moderate means. Rial Uche speaks with Dr. Muhammad Habibu, a clinical and radiation oncologist at the Lagos University Teaching Hospital, Nigeria, about the financial burden of cancer treatment.
Cancer is a major burden, especially in this part of the world. According to Globalcom reports, according to Globalcom statistics, cancer is growing, and the growth is more in the low and medium income country, Nigeria being one of them. Breast cancer has overtaken lung cancer as the most common cancer in the world, with incidence of about 19 million yearly. And the cervical cancer is the second most common cancer in women. In Nigeria, prevalence of cervical cancer is very high. We record over 12,000 new cases each year. And the mortality of this cervical cancer, about 8,000 people die, women die of cervical cancer each year in Nigeria alone.
We go back to Professor Okoye to find out how the HPV is transmitted.
The human papillomavirus is primarily transmitted through intimate skin-to-skin contact, especially during sexual activity. It is one of the most common sexually transmitted infections, though this association of being a sexually transmitted infection is not emphasized, so that it will not bring with it stigmatization. The virus can infect the genital areas, mouth, and throat. It is important to note that penetrative sex is not necessary for transmission. Any skin-to-skin contact with an infected area can lead to transmission. And some people have put it in a very comic way to say that use of condoms, even if the condom is created to be worn like a trouser, will not be able to prevent transmission. Once there is any skin-to-skin contact, which means that even the act of kissing can have it transmitted, even if there are no visible signs or symptoms from the carrier. So my advice to Nigerian parents on the HPV vaccine is to emphasize to them the fact that as soon as sexual activity starts, even with foreplay, no penetration, this cervical cancer can be transmitted skin-to-skin contact. We have to emphasize that. De-emphasize that it's sexually transmitted.
The HPV vaccine campaign targets 7.7 million girls in Nigeria. Stay tuned as we find out more about the vaccination drive from Dr. Ahmed Rufai Garba, the National Coordinator of the Human Papillomavirus Vaccination Drive in Nigeria and the Acting Director of Disease Control and Immunization Department at the National Primary Healthcare Development Agency.
So on the 24th of October, 2023, the federal government of Nigeria, through the Ministry of Health and the National Primary Healthcare Development Agency, launched the human papillomavirus vaccine into the country. This is the first of its kind in Nigeria. We have had this vaccine available in the private sector, but this is the first time the government has been able to launch this vaccine into the public sector, where young girls aged 9 to 14 would have access to this vaccine in our public health facilities, free of charge.
Nigeria took a significant step by incorporating the human papillomavirus vaccine into its routine immunization system. How is the acceptance like?
The different states, we've seen the various levels of acceptance. We all know that in the course of the launch of the vaccine, we did start seeing a whole lot of anti-vaccination campaigners coming up, talking about how harmful the vaccine is. And the big question one is asked is, how come a vaccine that has been available within the country and is being sold for a shot at 60,000 naira is suddenly harmful? Is it because it has become free for everybody to access? That is one question. In the different states, we've seen the different levels of acceptance in states like Taraba State, Kebbi State, and even Kano State. We have had total acceptance, where right now the country is trying to bring in more of these vaccines because we are beginning to roll it out in the routine immunization system now, where young ladies, 9 years to 14 years, can go to the health facility and get these vaccines free of charge. It's been a tough one, having to deal with the hesitancy, especially in the south. The numbers that we receive from states like Lagos and Osun and Ogun states have been abysmal. It's been really discouraging, but notwithstanding, we know that these things take time. The anti-vax stories took more effect in those states, where till today, we're still battling to even get to 40% of our target in a state like Lagos. While in states like Kano, we've been able to reach 97%.
How is your agency tackling the issue of vaccine hesitancy?
We have our plans. What we're doing here is one of the means that we use to tackle this. We bring out the facts. We're not out to force anybody. Vaccines are not compulsory. However, based on science, based on the greater good, based on the reason that science and medicine has come to help people, this vaccine was not discovered today. Over 126 countries across the world are using this vaccine. In Africa, we have over 13 countries that have introduced this vaccine. And Nigeria now getting the opportunity to get this vaccine from a journey we started in 2015. And the stories are still out there. But we're trying. Everybody's free will. We'll try to also educate, create more awareness, use our traditional leaders, use our religious leaders, use our CSOs, and see how we'll be able to create awareness properly and for people to understand and get the facts and now have the knowledge to be able to make an informed decisions.
During the National Stakeholders Forum on the Elimination of Cervical Cancer held in November 2020, the former Health Minister, Osagie Ehanire, announced the country's plan to introduce HPV vaccines by 2021. But there was a delay. What was the reason for it?
In the course of trying to get this vaccine into the country, we started from 2015 with the hope that we'll be able to launch this vaccine earlier than 2023. It was tough trying to get the quantity that Nigeria would need, especially that other countries were also in the race to get these vaccines. Vaccines production are not something that you just go and just produce, start the production today and you get it by tomorrow. No. And the numbers that we have very few countries who have the kind of numbers that we have in Nigeria that will be required. So the quantity was an issue. So the global body had to be sure that if they give Nigeria the stock, they will not be starving other countries. So it so happened that this is the year where the production was able to match the what we needed. And like I said, it was still phasing all because of that. So what we mean by phasing is that we're doing it in two tranches. So we've started the phase one and the phase two also followed. Or hope with special grace of God, by next year, first quarter, we'll roll out in the remaining 21 states and it'll be available all over the country for these young girls to get for free. I repeat that, for free.
How is your distribution strategy in getting the vaccines to hard-to-reach areas?
We have a routine structure that moves this vaccine. So the HPV vaccine is just one of the vaccines that we move the country. Like I said, we have over 13 of these vaccines in the routine immunization structure. And it's a system that's been on from the national level. Vaccines are very sensitive biologicals. So they need a certain temperature to actually operate, to be properly stored and to keep them potent until they get to that end user that is in my village in Goronyo in Sokoto State. And along the line, you also have in terms of transport, in terms of storage at the different points, whether it's at the state level, at the local government level, at the health facility level, we have the different levels. At the health facility level, where we know that electricity is a problem, we have installed solar direct drive that do not require electricity to work. They have them in every ward in Nigeria. We have at least one solar direct drive that can hold the vaccine, use solar light and natural green energy. And that's what we use at those points. And when we need to move the vaccines further into the interior, we use our geostyle vaccine carriers using ice pack to try to ensure that we maintain the temperature and we make sure that there's a thermometer that we use to measure this temperature and be sure that we maintain temperature at the point. So, and whether it's hard to reach, whether it's far to reach, we get the vaccines there, nothing new. In some areas like in Borno State, we even work with the military and other security forces. These are areas that are even under siege and all of that. So hard to reach area is just hard to reach. We have already have our plans. We have people who stay there. We have our health facility workers who know the terrain. We already have services in those areas. So all we do is to ensure that these services also include immunization services. We'll get the vaccines to them.
What are the next steps in the vaccination drive?
Moving forward, we have learned a couple of lessons from this introduction. We would apply those lessons that we've learned in the next phase and also in a subsequent introduction of vaccines while we build on what we have been doing in the past and we find innovative ways of actually trying to get folks to understand what vaccines are about, what they are used for, the usefulness, the benefit. One thing that we have learned is that sensitization must continue. Awareness creation must continue. That's the only way we'll be able to properly design these programs. Vaccines are safe. Vaccines are efficient. And they're free. at least these vaccines for these children and the vaccines that we have just launched, the HPV vaccines, is free. As I said before, in private health facilities, these vaccines are sold for as high as 60,000 naira. How many Nigerians can actually afford that? Here, the government has brought out a vaccine would save our girls from the pains of the future. And here we are having to debate whether we should, our girls should take these vaccines or not.
Dr. Garbo highlighted that misinformation campaigns have fueled concerns about the HPV vaccine's potential side effects. This sort of misinformation leads to vaccine hesitancy. Dr. Habibu debunks the rumors around the HPV vaccine.
There are rumors about that surround the cervical cancer vaccine, that we hear that the cervical cancer vaccine, you know, is rumored to cause infertility and to cause other diseases. But this has not been substantiated. There is no statistics and no research that has proven that the cervical cancer vaccine causes infertility. As in fact, it's better to get our children, adolescents, immunized with cervical cancer vaccine so as to protect them from cervical cancer. Cervical cancer vaccine has been proven to be very safe against human papilloma virus.
The false claims around vaccines could make it harder for vaccination programs to be fully effective. We go back to Professor Okoye to find out how to tackle misinformation surrounding vaccination.
Some of the misconceptions that are quite incredible and surprising, especially as they come from communities of professionals that should know better, include concerns about providing young girls the leeway to promiscuity. The idea that vaccinating them is a kind of flag to tell them now you are safe, you can participate in promiscuous activities. Of course, the fears of association with infertility, which definitely has a relationship with all the vaccine hesitancy that followed the COVID pandemic. There is need to have sustained engagements with the community at different levels, at the schools, at the churches, definitely at different levels, especially utilizing peer advocacy, as well as utilizing community influencers who can share the story of having vaccinated themselves or having their own children or grandchildren vaccinated and showing evidence of that. That's what is currently going on in high-income countries, because their buying to the vaccine is also not 100%, but it's not as low as we have here in Nigeria. So we need to look at the cultural issues and be sensitive to them. We also need to be very aware of the trust issues as well that have always followed vaccination and is the reason, major reason for vaccine hesitancy.
That's all from us at Science Explained today. If you want to find out more, head to the SciDev.net website. That's www.scidev.net. Today's show was produced by Alice Hurst, with editing by Ogechi Ikeanyanwu and Titi Lokwe Fadari, and hosting by me, Titi Lokwe Fadari. Today's reporter was Royal Uche. Until next time, goodbye. Africa Science Focus is produced by SciDev.net and distributed in association with your local radio station.